I'm not preaching. What we're going to do today is hear some memories of saints who have gone before us here in this place. There are so many, and so if you're saying you forgot someone, we don't. So I'm going to ask Ruth and Doug to come up first, and we're going to intersperse this with verses of 707. But Ruth and Doug are going to come up and speak to us about some of the people from the past here.
I came to Whitehorse in 1965. I lived with my sister Myrtle, Raymond, and her family. Bert and the four kids were churchgoers, so it was a given that I would take part. Reverend Marsden was the minister at the time. He wore a black robe and a white clerical collar, exactly like what the picture is of in the front. And when he was downtown, he wore a black suit and a clerical collar. He was one that wore the clerical collar all the time as a sign for us. It was a distinctive, visible sign of Jesus Christ, present in the midst of everyday life, ready to reconcile sinners and bring souls back to God. Church was a serious affair. Children were to be seen and not heard. The pulpit was set up a little higher in the old church, and from that angle, Reverend Marsden could give anyone that was even thinking of misbehaving
the evil eye.
I joined choir as an alto, and I stood beside Alice Ann. One would be on key, and there would be no tears. I called my sister Mert, and she recalls also that church was a serious affair. She spent most of her time corralling her four kids. They lived at 708 Strickland, across the street from Doreen Thompson. On some evenings, Mert would send the three oldest off to a kids' event at church. The usual trek was up 7th Avenue, through the cemetery, to the church. Mert's call was always up to someone, scaring the girls in the graveyard. And when they'd arrive, Mr. Marsden would be met with scared girls and teary eyes. Mert's daughter Debbie lives here, and I called her, and she also remembered that it was a pretty serious event to come to church. One day the family were out at the cabin, and Mert went for a walk. She came back with a gross, out of season. Next week they were downtown, and they see Reverend Marsden in the old post office, and Debbie hollers out, "My mom shot a gross." I recall that Keith and I stood up for a couple that were getting married, and when the ceremony was over, we were supposed to go out and sign the register, and Keith was on that end, and he didn't move. All of a sudden, he keeled over, he fainted, and Reverend Marsden just watched him. I'm sure we were all a bit stunned. I joined the church and was buried in the church by Reverend Marsden. He was a very wonderful fellow.
It's my honor and privilege to be able to speak of Herb and Noreen Wall. lot of you have heard of him, but never had a chance to know, I shouldn't say him, but them, never had a chance to get to know them. So I just thought a very brief history of what Hugh Herb and Doreen were. Doreen Fleming was raised in Minnedosa, Manitoba, and was a teacher for a few years in Manitoba, and in the late 1940s, and in 1950, at the invitation of her sister who lived here, she came up to teach in Whitehorse. Herb was raised in Barrhead, Alberta, and he had spent late 1940s up in the Yukon working and surveying along the Alaska Highway. When he graduated, finished his university training, he was hired by the Canada Weather Service as an operational forecaster, and he requested to be moved to Whitehorse because he loved being in the Yukon when he was spending his summers here. Herb and Doreen obviously met in Whitehorse. They were married in 1953. Both of them were very involved in the sporting community, the general social life of the community, and in the church. They had lifelong of learning. They never stopped learning, and they were always very happy to share their knowledge with others, whether it be young folk or older folk, and they were more than happy to learn what other people could teach them as well. And Herb had a way of asking you a question. If you didn't want to answer, you did anyway, because he was very direct in wanting to know what you thought about something. Doreen was a very large person constrained in a 5-foot body. She was never aware that she was not large physically, but she had a huge personality, and she was very firm in what she believed, very firm in wanting to pass information to young people. She was also involved in the sporting community, and one of her favorite sports was basketball, which seems strange, but she was very good at basketball, and she was an extremely avid curler, and she represented the Yukon Northwest Territories a number of times in national events. Herb was into hockey, curling, badminton, hunting, fishing. He loved all those things. And one of his favorite pastimes, though, was his gardening. He was designated a master gardener. Many people would go to Herb for advice on how to grow things or what could be grown in the Yukon. He also remained very interested in weather. So he could look at the clouds and tell you what weather was coming, and he would be happy to share that information with young people. He and Doreen loved flowers, wildflowers. They traveled through the Yukon, stopping all the time to look at flowers in the ditch. If they didn't recognize them, to pass them by, they had to stop. They never stopped learning, and they wanted to pass on that love of learning to the people of Yukon. They had no children of their own. Many people's children considered them uncle, aunt, grandparents, mentors. When Doreen passed away first in 1999, Herb passed away in 2007, and not surprisingly, they left their estate to better the lives of people of Yukon, Whitehorse, United Church in particular. A good portion of their estate went to the Yukon Foundation to set up scholarship programs for the community at large. Another portion of their estate was left at the United Church in Whitehorse United Church, and Herb and Doreen Wall Memorial Fund was set up, and there were two segments of it. One was the training and education of people in music. The particular emphasis would be to pass, have this training available to members and adherents of the United Church, but also to other people who could learn and pass on that information to the benefit of people of the United Church. Another portion of the Wall Fund was set up for general training, and that was for anybody within the United Church of Whitehorse to, or Church of Whitehorse United Church, to make application for funding to take on training projects, programs that would benefit people of the United Church, the community, as long as that also helped benefit people of the United Church. Basically, these funds are available for the betterment of the community of Whitehorse and Yukon at large, but specifically for the people, adherents, and members of the United Church. And they had a strong impact on every aspect. The church was always central to their lives, and this memorial fund that they had set up is a continuation of their devotion to the community and to the church.
We're going to sing verse 1 of that hymn, and while we're doing that, Carol will come forward.
Of the years when she explored how playing a clown, Beatrix,
violence could harden people who were struggling. I tell this story of my first meeting with Janet so you can see how she created a space for her own meditation. She communicated. She reached out when the opportunity arose, and she offered practical help. These were the ways, in those words from last week, that she befriended the soul of her community.
We had asked Joanne Lewis if she would speak about her parents. She was unable to because she's out of town, but she wrote something that I will read. You know that downstairs is called Lewis Hall, not L-E-W-E-S, but L-E-W-I-S, for Joanne's parents. So, and the Reverend Don, who is still in Red Deer, and his partner Isabel, were here. Don as the paid accountable minister, but they worked as a team, was my understanding. And anyway, this is what Joanne, their daughter, who still lives here, says about them. Don and Isabel moved to Whitehorse in the summer of 1970 with three children. They traveled the Alaska Highway, which was dusty when it wasn't muddy. To appease the occupants in the back seat, ages 6 to 14, Dad cheerfully asked, "How would you kids like the dog?" And my mother's response was less enthusiastic. But within a couple of months, we had a blonde Cocker Spaniel puppy. She was charming and the source of mischief and joy for many years. Little dog with a big place in our family. Ask Joanne about the time the dog stole some dentures. Anyway, Mom was involved in UCW Sunday School and Explorers. She provided support and assistance that enabled Dad to fulfill his calling. She could plan and deliver or help deliver a service when needed. She knew how to listen to people in distress. She knew who needed a visit, a cup of tea, a seat at the table at Christmas, Easter, or Thanksgiving. I remember her baking for events, meetings, and sometimes Greyburn camp. She kept the family going, drove kids to activities, and was there for us and our friends after school with cookies and freshly baked bread. Mom was also involved in the formation of Hospice Yukon. Dad was very committed and involved in ministry. There were things you would expect, church services, pastoral care, and so on, and correctional center visitation. There was also a lot of supportive listening with people facing such challenges as substance abuse, violence, loss and grief, loneliness, incarceration, or unemployment, to name a few. He knew how to listen. I'm just going to intersperse there. Often I meet people sort of who were there in that time, who are working the AA program, and they say to me, "I did my step five of Don Lewis," and he had I think I heard about him in that way more than any other thing. Dad was involved on the board of Crossroads, a 30-day treatment center. He was also a friend of AA and there for taking their fifth step of the 12-step journey. He was close with friends with some of the other clergy, and he valued those relationships and the mutual support. He was actively involved in Rotary. He and Mom were avid square dancers for many years. Mom and Dad retired in 92 to Red Deer and enjoyed many more years of square dancing involved at Sunny Grove Church and travel. And Isabel passed away a couple of years ago, and Don is still there. We're going to sing another verse, and then Fred's going to come and talk to us.
And then I hung up and said, who was it? I said it was a wrong number. but actually it was somebody saying they wanted some old people to talk about the church. And Barry said, well, that's us. And they wanted me to talk about the fire, but I just can't proceed without talking about when we first came here in 1972, we drove up that dusty, windy highway, and I was teaching at F.H. Collins, and we had two children by Christmas, and we were very, very busy, and we had friends at school and some through the church. But Don and Isabel took us under their wing and invited us for our first Christmas dinner in Whitehorse. We still remember, it was a wonderful dinner. The only thing that spoiled it a little bit is their Cocker Spaniel had eaten the butter tarts and then had deposited them on the floor. But apart from that, it was a good time. And as Joanne mentioned in her letter, that it was always Dawn and Isabel. And it was a very embracing church. Dawn was the ideal good shepherd. And the church at that time faced this way, and the traditional style with the straight flat pews. And sometimes in January, when it was actually 45, 50 below, Dawn would say, could everybody come and sit on this side? And we'd kind of gather same close. Right, Diane? Diane used to sit right behind us. But the United Church was a central part of our lives. And then when Dawn left in 92, they thought, well, how are we going to adjust? So they had an interim minister, Jack Carver, come up, and they thought he will kind of take the brunt of our unhappiness. And so he arrived that summer, and we were here on August. We were still kind of in the air, it's Sunday, go to church kind of thing, even though it was 30-degree weather. And so we came to church, and we were gathered downstairs in the basement after church. And I remember there was a big... And this gray smoky stuff came down. I said, look at that dust. And then I went over and walked up the stairs, the back stairs to the step up where the minister's office was. And I looked, and the church was just roiling with black, orange colors. It was all cedar wood, and it was just aflame. And I closed that door and went downstairs, everybody out. And it was so fast that the flames roiled down this way, and the entrance, which now had we were so proud of our new elevator or lift, which had been installed by hardworking people in the congregation. Doug even had to come and sleep here at night so people didn't steal the equipment. And so we had our nice new entrance, or elevator we just put in, and Elmer McGanny had donated generously $10,000 to the church. We just put nice new carpet down the front. Everything was just, you know, smoked along there. And ever since the But anyway, the fire happened, and it was pretty scary, and so everybody had to get out. Well, I think Mary Lou and Kristen and Uncle went out to the front entrance, and it was completely full of black smoke. They said, get down, crawl down, and a few people retreated into the kitchen, which is in the same location, and there was Sharon Westberg, which is Sharon, and Alice Ann, Phil White, and the Jack Hubbard's wife, who wasn't so sure about coming to Whitehorse in the first place. So they were in the kitchen. So Phil broke the window and kind of got the glass out of the way, and then he helped assist the ladies from a chair onto the counter. They crawled out those windows, go down and check them out, like it's a real trick. And they got out, and then when Sharon got out, Alice Ann said, oh, thank you for getting my purse. So these two ladies were fighting over the purse, and it turns out that Alice Ann left her purse in the kitchen. So I went back to the window and got it for her, so you know, because purses are pretty important. But anyway, Sharon, she thought she'd cut herself. But it turned out the only person to be injured in this whole event was Phil White from the glass. I mean, he had deposited some blood when he helped her out. And Bertha was down in the basement there, and it was helping her to Mrs. Wallen. And she was fairly elderly, you know, kind of dark, age plus 10. And so Bertha stayed with her and helped her get out up the stairs. And she was actually recognized, given an award that year at the commissioner's levy for her bravery in that situation. But there was a lot of people helping. And then we all went outside and stood. I checked the in the, down the basement, there was the stage had been built into two little rooms, and we were looking for, you know, was anybody in those? And then we said, where's Nick? Nick was at church, where's Nick? And then we found out you walked home at that time, you know, everybody was thinking. And the fire department took forever to come. It was like 25, honest 25 minutes at least, because they'd all gone fishing on Marsh Lake. It was such a beautiful day. And they finally got here, and they had one hose hooked up. It was pretty minuscule. And eventually they chopped the whole roof. They didn't get the fire out. We all stood around. And then they let us back in. And when we came in, and Mary Lou remembers this very well, the hole was in the roof, and the light was shining in, and the cross was there. And it was just like, it was a promise of better days to come. And I think that's the case. And the, it do this in remembrance of me. We say that from the we say that from the fire, and it sat in my shed for about 10 or 12 years. And I thought, oh, they should go back to the church. But it was hanging in front of the communion table. So I would say that, like the phoenix, we rose from the ashes. Everybody pitched in, and there was a lot of memorable times. One was we took the piano out of the basement and loaded it on the back of a pickup truck. And Bill Petrico, for those of you who know Bill, was playing it as they drove down Main Street. So if you have music in your heart, as this church does, you can do just about anything. And we stored all the stuff at Phil White's warehouse down in the industrial area. And Donna, dear Donna, she itemized everything, every teaspoon. They brought all the dishes for a place and washed them. So we had a better inventory than any church. And then we rebuilt. And one of the things was to try to make it more friendly. So this kind of format, where we're all sitting in a circle, and it's a much more welcoming thing. We had a big debate about pews or chairs. And we decided on pews because we still have a traditional bit in our heart. And Hank's job was to fix them, and he had a big crew, and they did a wonderful job of putting them in place. Many, many people pitched in over the time, and a lot of time, personal time and effort, and to rebuild it. And I think all I can say is it's worth it. I think this is our church. It's everybody's church. It's a community center, and I think it stands out as a pivotal point in Whitehorse, and it can only get better. Amen.
Is your love, both deep and broad. Anyway, that's awesome. That's a great line.